I mean, we're really witnessing greatness, Ash.
And welcome back. Welcome aboard another Car Train. I'm Evan Singer. This is Matt Cermak. What's up, Cerm?
What's up, Bev? We just witnessed greatness at Augusta. It's good to see you still wearing the yellow bucket hat.
I have to. This is the week to wear it.
Like, we got, when are we taking a break? And you're like, we got to, me and Cerm got to record our recap.
Yeah.
You know, and then we'll talk about it. But,
you know, actually, I wanted the white or green bucket hat. The yellow was all that was left, but I kind of dig it.
Yeah. I mean, I give you credit because you got that great Masters rain jacket on. So you got the little yellow subtlety right there that's catching.
Yep.
You're really matching well. It's fun to watch, but it looks like you're ready for a rainstorm. And, you know, it was sunny
right
there at Augusta.
It actually is raining in LA. So it's relevant. But yeah, welcome aboard, guys. In case you guys are new, we help frustrated golfers enjoy the ride again, because if you can learn to smile through bad golf, you can smile through anything. These are some of our favorite podcasts. We sit down right after a major ends. We unpack what we saw, how we can apply it to our everyday games. Obviously, there's a lot to talk about with Scotty. There's a lot to talk about with Colin, Morikawa, Max Homa, Rory, Tiger. We're going to get to all of it, and we're going to distill it in these snackable pro tips and, I think, routines and habits that we can apply to our own games as we get the golf bug now that the Masters has passed and the world is warming up again for most of the country and world. So actually, before we get to this, I just realized I'm so excited to talk about the Masters. I forgot about
our friends at Roback.
They just dropped a lot of, actually, I'll say this. Roback just dropped a lot of women's gear. So as we get into the springtime, if you're looking for a gift for your lady, or you're a lady listening to this yourself, Roback.com, enter the code TRAIN, 15% off. There is so much good activewear for women on and off the golf course.
Yep.
That's a great thing. Maybe get yourself something and then throw something in for the lady.
Well, it's funny. Shannon's been, we've been going to the range. She's going to be playing.
Oh,
you know, this year we're getting out to the course. So it's perfect timing.
Perfect timing.
Roback.com for the ladies.
And a lot of springtime polos. I think the Azalea stuff, if you got the Masters fever, is still there. So Roback.com, enter the code TRAIN, get 15% off. If it doesn't work, it means you've used it before. So as Cermak has suggested, create at sbc.global.net. Email, do whatever you have to do. Hop aboard that Roback train. It's why this show is possible. And we wear it head to toe every day. Obviously, right now, I'm wearing the Masters rain jacket. Every other time, I'm wearing Roback. Okay, let's make that clear.
I still got the vest on, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Where we always start on these episodes, Cerm, is just initial reaction of the week.
Yeah.
Right? What do you think?
And Ev, before we dive in, just for anybody who's new with the show, you know, we do a major recap. For each major, we do a little tour talk. As you know, we don't really focus so much on tour talk, but these are fun for us and I think fun for you guys. After every major, we do a deep dive into the winner and to coverage.
And that's a good point. And to be clear, we don't talk about it just to talk about it. We talk about it because we just saw the best players in the world either falter or succeed when the pressure is at its highest. And there are things we can learn from that, right? We can't necessarily hit the ball like Scotty, but we can learn everything else about what he does, right? And that's what these episodes are about.
Right. And it helps we're glued to the TV in the majors, right? Every second, every shot. So, Well, yeah, I mean, like we typically start off. I mean, let's just initial reactions from both of us. I mean, Ev, what comes to mind from this Masters week?
I thought this Masters has everything that you want. Tiger was in the mix at the beginning. The fact that he made the cut. Actually, I'll start with Tiger for a quick second. I think this needs to be said. We are so used to Tiger being so unbelievable that we expect that he can play six times in the last 2 years with multiple withdrawals and hardly making cuts and being his body just being beaten down and all this stuff and expect him to compete. The fact that he comes into Augusta cold, remember his body was not up to par at the players to be able to play.
The body's never going to be up to par.
Right. So the fact that he can come at the hardest walk on tour and make the cut is just, it can't be overstated how unbelievable that is. with everything his body's been through. So obviously anytime Tiger's in the mix, that's amazing. But you factor in the conditions, the crazy wind on greens like this is golf at another level, right?
Yeah,
I made a tweet earlier this week about the power of expectations, where obviously at an Open Championship, everybody expects wind. So nobody really mums the wiser. But at Augusta, you don't normally get 30-mile-per-hour winds. So everybody was looking around, laughing, couldn't believe it, trying to wait out the wind, pausing, stepping off the ball, making a big deal about it. But I do want to make it clear, obviously, Open Championship greens are much bigger. They don't have nearly the amount of undulation, and they're much slower than Augusta National. So I understand that having 30-mile-per-hour winds at a place like Augusta National is, you know, another thing. So all in all, I think we got all the names we wanted. A lot of big names didn't do well, but a lot of big names did. And coming down to the back nine, to me, all I ever want is drama and people close together. Scotty obviously, you know, drew away a little bit at the end, but we were going into the back nine with, I was really rooting for Max. That's one thing I'll say. I think who you root for on the back nine at Augusta tells you a lot about who your favorite players are.
Yeah.
And Max Homa, I was really wanting him to break through. I was happy to see Scotty get his second, because it's crazy that Scotty's only had one major. But I think all in all, amazing week. Hard, great names, drama towards the end. Maybe not as much as we would have liked, but the course was in immaculate shape. I just love watching that course all week long. It's amazing.
Yeah, there's nothing like it. Some good themes. Yeah, the Tiger stuff's, you know, what I was thinking about watching Tiger is we just want to see him finish tournaments and make cuts.
Yeah.
You know, the right? So we're in a different place with Tiger. We're used to in a place where we just expected him to always compete to win, if not win, like he did. And now it's just like, you know, I was talking with Jack Carrington about what should Tiger be ranked in the Masters pool. And I was like, well, probably should be, it's probably a four because he hasn't been able to finish a tournament. So to see him, you know, be in the top 25 after two rounds, but visibly just clearly in pain, it's almost worrisome as a fan of Tiger's, but it's also just straight up unbelievable. And like the grit that this guy exudes, every step hurts. He's got to go hit a golf shot at the hardest golf course in the world, the way it was playing. It's truly unbelievable. So hope that Tiger just because stays away from any major injury again, but he was amazing. Even though he had a tough weekend, what he did, he set the record, most cuts at Augusta. And you knew he was thinking about that. And that was on his mind. And that's another record.
So that was all time.
Of all time. Yeah.
And maybe how many was that? Do you remember?
25. So,
and he's never missed a cut at Augusta?
I think he's missed one or maybe one total. Yeah. I mean, cause you think about him as a, you know, 97 was his first year as a pro. He had a couple as an amateur, probably three as an amateur, but kudos to Tiger to stay healthy to the big cat. Yeah. The wind was interesting. You know, obviously the second round, a lot of people shot themselves out of the tournament. Rory's a good example of that, shooting 77, but man, I no doubt I love Homa and all those guys. Love Morikawa, but Ev, we're watching greatness with Scottie Scheffler. We are watching, you know, we talked about this off air. We're going to talk about this. We're watching dominance in a way like we saw with Rory, like we saw with Spieth. You know, if we think about our generation, the post-Tiger, so to speak. And it's pretty scary what this guy can do. I mean, he's winning a lot of tournaments. He's got 11 wins in four seasons now, two Masters. He's there every week. He's like, you called it out, two players championships. So I think it's going to be fun for us to dig into Scottie Scheffler and why he's just by far the best player in the world. And that's we got some great players in this world. But watching that back nine, he didn't miss a fairway until the 18th hole when you're supposed to put it in the bunker on the left and you got a four shot lead. So, you know, where is this guy going to go? He seems unflappable. We've seen this with Koepka in the majors. We saw that with Spieth in the majors. But like, it just seems like he can just go win every week. And a lot of those guys have been great over the years and they are amazing. I don't think have the week in, week out dominance we're seeing.
Yeah.
And everybody picked him to win this week. He was absolutely the favorite, the biggest favorite in modern history. Think about that pressure. And he goes out once.
Yeah.
He goes out once. So, I mean, this is wild stuff we're witnessing with Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah. And you know what? I'll add in one thing. I actually was watching. I went to the driving range and I was listening to one of No Laying Up's. I love how they do the lives after, you know, one of the rounds and talking through a recap. And I forget who said it. Maybe it was Solly, but I thought this was the perfect way to sum up how Augusta National was playing. It is all yellow lights. You're not sure if you should start or stop. And every stoplight has a red light camera on it where you could get a ticket, right? Yeah. Like, and I don't think we give the players enough credit. We watch the best players in the world like we did this week, and they make it look so easy. But then if you think about your own game, think about playing a golf course like Augusta National, where everything is on the line. History is in the making. And even a 1 foot to 2 foot difference of how you miss can be the difference between being 5 feet and off the green short-sighted. And right. To be able to step into those shots, step into a yellow light and fully commit and be able to have your true authentic swing come out is truly an amazing thing. But yeah. One thing I think we'll talk about with Scheffler, maybe we'll save this because I want to dig into this. I think confidence is earned. And I think Scottie Scheffler has earned that. And I don't think that's necessarily been earned necessarily through his wins. I think it's earned through the little things that he does that we saw on the driving range that he talks about. There's a little dichotomy we can unpack there of like the difference between Scottie Scheffler's confidence and belief versus the work that Max Homa has gotten to believe in himself, right?
Yeah.
There's a difference there.
You know what was really refreshing about this Masters, though, Ev, was because of the tough conditions, we saw so many double, triple, triples, quads,
yeah,
nines, eights. I mean, Scheffler had a double yesterday. And they were just, I mean, Bryson, you know, on 15 yesterday. Like, they were just happening out of nowhere. And to your point, the fortune can change by a couple feet or, you know, a couple yards, especially at Augusta. But, like, these would even your winner – was bouncing back from doubles. And that's the fun part. Morikawa makes a double on 9 and 11 today. And it's like, you know, you know, you don't, you know, that's a little Master Sunday pressure, but I thought that was really cool all week to see these guys struggle and how they would bounce back.
I was shocked by Morikawa.
Scheffler didn't make any doubles today. That's
right.
You know, we kind of saw it from Morikawa. We saw it from Ludwig.
Homa made a double. I was shocked that Colin Morikawa hooked one in the water on 11 for a perennial cutter of the ball.
Well, but think it. I could.
Kind I know of, that that probably calls for a draw. It.
Well, I think he was probably pressing a tad.
Oh yeah, he admitted it.
You know, he's one. He's not a drawer, so it's a tough and it's a shot that needs to be. You know, you need to hit it 30 feet. You saw Scheffler bail out even further right. That's the miss. I think he just. That's not his shot, and he pressed, and it's the Masters.
Yeah.
So, but look at Ludwig, right? He's a classic drawer, and he pulled it. You know, it's the most difficult second shot, you know, year by year in the majors. It really is, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know.
So, who do we want to start with? We talked about a few people there. We want to start with Rory.
Sure.
Because we made. I think I posted something after the Ryder Cup and we talked about this in our recap and we talked about it with Sean Foley, by the way.
Yeah.
When I was in Scotland, we talked about how Rory and Ryder Cups, especially this past one in Rome, is a different Rory. And how can Rory bring his Ryder Cup self, i.e. playing for the, obviously it's easier in that scenario. You're playing for your team. You're playing for your country. He plays a little bit more freewheeling in that scenario. You can definitely tell, and he's even talked about it, how he came into this week talking about how he wants to be able to capture what it felt like to be Rory McIlroy when he was 18 years old, driving down Magnolia Lane, playing in his first Masters. How can you have beginner's mind and see Augusta National through the new beginner eyes, right? And not put all the weight of the world on yourself. And that's obviously a very hard thing to do.
Yeah.
Now he's just passed his 10th year. of trying to get a green jacket with a chance to, you know, have the career grand slam.
Post last major. Yep.
Yeah. And how long's it been since he won a major? 10 years, I guess.
Well, yeah. 2014.
Yeah.
The British Open. Yeah.
What stood out to you for Rory?
Well, I think
because he had a great first round, and that was historically what he struggled with.
Yeah. I think the Masters is just not his primetime major. Forget the, we understand the pressure, the attention he grabs, and maybe, you know, and some of those things, but you know, he's only had two top fives in the Masters, and he's been playing it since 2009. For Rory McIlroy, one of the greatest players of all time, it's not very good. He has a lot of bad finishes at the Masters. Now, he had the second place in 2022, but he was really in no chance to win.
Backdoor.
He's got three top fives. So it's, and to dig into a little of that more, again, you know, this is our classic line of the show. Again, we're talking about Rory fucking McIlroy, right? Like, you know, but everybody's digging into his game because he's just the man of our generation. You know, you watch him compared to Scheffler. Scheffler looks like he's painting a picture out there, hitting cuts, hitting low, really working his hands, just hitting shots. And Rory's kind of more of a one-stock shot kind of guy. And Scheffler's a cutter and Rory's a drawer. And historically, what do we know about drawers at Augusta? They don't do as well. You know, not that they don't do well, but they don't do as well as Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods hitting high cuts.
Which is so funny because you hear people talk about how you need the draw.
You need it all.
But then you've had, right, right. But you've had so many players that hit cuts that win. So it's like, I think we could maybe stop that narrative here that you don't necessarily need to hit it any which way. You need to be able to hit every shot
correct
to win at Augusta National.
Correct. And it's a little bit of a just different approach. It's interesting, Ev, too. Rory this year is number one in total driving going into this week. I mean, we know he's such an amazing driver of the golf ball, but like, you know, he in strokes gained, and I think he's 65 in strokes gained in approach. So another thing too about Rory, Evan, I'm curious your thoughts. You know, did you listen to him on the I Can Fly pod, which is a really cool pod that's come out with really great guests? Because you were mentioning about his mindset for the Ryder Cup. He looks like he's just a total gunslinger. Free, you know, just
leader.
Free bailing and
yeah,
I mean, fighting caddies and just got that moxie, but it's true.
Yeah.
But what he talked about in that pod, and I think it relates to his individual game in the Masters or majors or whatever, is I'm trying to be essentially happier. I'm trying to have better body language. I'm not trying to put my head down. I'm trying to enjoy this moment. And to me, like, that's a lot to work on, you know, and that's because maybe he's just trying everything, you know, to find something. And that's what these players have to do throughout their careers. You have to always be searching to get better. But like, do you think Scheffler is worried about having fun out there? He is just so locked in with his game and has a level of comfort with the shots he can hit, which is every shot in the world. That's what Rory used to be like. And it's not like that Rory doesn't have those weeks. He clearly does. He's number two in the world. It's just, you know, Rory's got the mindset for Ryder Cup. He's got this new mindset for, you know, playing individually. But, you know, he went out to Dubai 2 months ago and he dominated.
Right.
So,
you know what's interesting
I just
about
don't
this?
Think it's Rory's so much gonna, easier. I think Rory's going to win another major, but I'd be shocked if it was at Augusta.
Yeah, that's interesting. I just about don't think how just, everybody said the course should suit him, but historically, has it?
Because, but the thing with Augusta, it kind of suits everybody. I was talking about this with my brother Pat. Like, anybody, that's why it's so fun. Everybody's in the mix, you know, because it's not super hard off the tee. Like the par fives are gettable. So, but if you look at his stats, Morikawa, on the other hand, and we'll get into him a little bit, three top tens in a row, you know, had a bad day today and he was a top five.
Yeah.
Cutter, you know, two majors. So, but your thoughts on Rory?
Yeah. So it makes me think of this Brian Harman quote that I posted. I did a YouTube video on it and I posted it on social where he was asked at the beginning of the tournament, you didn't expect I'd bring up Brian Harman this
Everybody
week.
Everybody was picking him as a dark horse this week.
Yeah.
Not have a good week.
He was asked at the beginning of his on Tuesday presser, he was asked about winning, you know, his Open Championship, his first major. And he was talking about how he had just made a bogey and he was walking to the 14th tee and he was four ahead with like five tough holes to go, tough conditions, right? And everybody wanted Fleetwood. So he's getting all of the jeering from the crowd, right? And he talked about how he called it a flush rocket, which I just love that term now. He hit a flush rocket off the 14th tee, and he had to take that moment. And he said it really provided comfort and calm, because I then knew in that moment, it didn't matter what I had done previously. It doesn't matter what anyone's saying on the outside. If I stick to my routine and I do what I need to do for me, i.e. his key, whatever that is, right? Stand in posture, rhythm, whatever that is, non-positional, non-technical, but sensory. As long as I do that, I'm going to be okay. And then he won his major. That's all Scotty talks about. Scotty, we're going to get to Scotty later, but that is all Scotty talks about. And you can just feel the weight of Rory that it's all about the results. So yes, is it hard to, I'm not saying to block out. If I was Rory, here's how to relate it to our own games, right? Brett McCabe has told us, you can't imagine that you're in North Carolina if you're in Iraq as a soldier. You have to acknowledge where you're at. But at the end of the day, you have to go back to your training, right? You can't be worried about dying or something bigger than you when you have to execute your plan. So how do we relate this to ourselves? If we go into a place where we don't have a lot of great success previously, or we walk into a hole where we previously hit it OB, that noise, that dissonance, that anxiety, the doubt will come. But you have to have, like I said, confidence is earned. You have to have the work and the practice put in and know what your process is to lean into in that moment, right?
Yeah. And I think Rory's earned the confidence. It's just, it's a long career. You just, sometimes you lose it to a degree, right? It's again, it's
but
not
it
like
doesn't,
he's not
can't you feel the weight though? Can't you feel the weight of the moment at Augusta for Rory?
It certainly seems like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what do we know? Right.
You know, it's, but it's,
that's what it seems like.
It certainly seems like it. Like, yeah, I can put Rory in this conversation with Tiger in a sense, like in 1998 and in 2003 and 2004, when Tiger wasn't winning majors, he was just working more on his craft, his game, and just getting better at that. I mean, to me, that's what Rory needs to do. Don't change your whole DNA. I got to be obviously don't want to have a bad attitude out there, but like, it's about superior execution. It's about superior grit. You know, it's about a superior routine and being able to hit shots when that matters. I just think hopefully, you know, we'll see that out of Rory coming through, but I can't disagree with what you said. It Augusta, it just looks like he is throwing everything at the wall, seeing what sticks every year.
You know what else I'll say? I'll finish you know? This on Rory.
But I love the guy.
Yeah. I actually think, and again, what do I know? I'm not a PGA Tour pro, so I don't know how valuable and meaningful this is. But one take I have, Serm, that I was thinking about going into the week is I think players maybe put a little bit too much emphasis on trying to figure out their major routine in regards to whether they play the week before or that they don't, or their practice routine. Like, yes, that might make a difference in whether you're sharp or not, but I don't think that that makes or breaks. Like, the fact that you played the week before last year and had a good finish doesn't necessarily mean that that's your system. There's a lot of other variables that goes into it.
I think you're right. And I think you, every week before a major is different. You have to listen to your body. You
right.
have to listen to
everything's different.
So you just got to react the best you can to that.
Right. So I wish Rory would put a little bit, and maybe he does, but would put a little bit more emphasis on what is going to be my process anytime I feel the weight of the world on my shoulders, right? Yeah. What's going to be my thing, and how can I just be less technical and rip the ball with a high draw as much as I can, you know?
Yeah, but again, I don't think Augusta's really his place.
All right, the train's going to make a quick stop, then we'll get it moving. I want to bring you a little Masters history, okay? I just learned about this. I didn't really know about the story. I think I heard about it years ago, but I forgot about it. Did you know that Augusta National has one palm tree? It's on the fourth hole. They actually call it the Lone Palm. So if you make your way to the western border of Augusta National, you'll find the lengthy par 3 fourth. And if you make your way down the right side of the hole, You'll pass a stand of bamboo. Yes, it has bamboo too. But if you look up, you'll see a palm tree. Now, before Augusta National was a golf course, it was a nursery. So Fruitland Nurseries was owned by the Berkman's family. And when the course opened, Lewis Berkman became a member. He helped club founders Bobby Jones and Clifford Roberts name the holes, one plant or tree per hole. So if number four was actually originally called Palm, because there was a bunch of palm trees down the right side, likely planted around the time the course opened. But there was a winter storm and most of them died off. And so the hole got renamed Flowering Crabapple. But one palm tree survived, the lone palm, on hole four. Pretty crazy. You would never think there's a palm tree on Augusta National. Well, my friends at Olakai just did a lone palm collection, shoe collection. So there's multiple styles, green and yellow, very tasteful, very cool shoes. They're incredible. I've got both of them. There's a women's style and there's two men's style. One slip-on, one traditional golf shoe. And you just go to olakai.com. You'll see it right on the homepage. And before, remember, Olakai is high quality. I could never get a discount out of them. But now I got you guys expedited shipping for free. So go to olakai.com, get yourself one of the lone palms, and enter the code TRAIN, and you'll get free expedited shipping. So thank you guys as always. Let's get back to the show.
You're a big Homa fan.
Yeah.
I think everybody's, it's hard not to be a Homa fan.
Yeah.
I think everybody was pulling for him this week. He was really steady, maybe a little too steady today. He had the one bad hole, but what were your thoughts?
Man, I was really pulling for Max. I mean, what did I posted his interview yesterday after a Saturday round? He just said, you know, this is the difference between Rory and Homa. Obviously, very different subjects, right? Max was someone that hasn't played well at a major, right? He's happy to be there. Rory's won four, trying to win a fifth.
Right.
This very is kind different.
Of a,
but
this has been a hurdle he's been trying to get over.
But what if Rory could take more of a Homa attitude in the sense that Max talked about, you know, I am just so lucky and grateful to be here. This is fun. This is like what I train for. This is what I live for. And I'm so grateful to be here. I'm going to enjoy every second. And I'm not going to forget that I'm a dog. Like, you got to give yourself that juice when you're feeling that doubt. And it's just, it's so good.
I love watching Max swing. It's one of my favorite swings out there.
Yeah.
It's just like, there's not a moving part in it. Kind of like Ludwig. It's just turn. Like, the club just goes up and comes down, you know? And
right. Oh my God. Ludwig. How does Ludwig ever hit a bad shot?
Well, he has this level of power, right? Because he's like a superior athlete with his height and his length. Oh my God. Yeah, he's unbelievable. He's going to be around for a long time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this is a great week for Homa. Like, he finally had his moment in the sun to compete in the back nine of a major and didn't get it done, but played great. 12th hole did him in, did a lot of people in. I think something that stuck out with me when I was comparing him versus Scheffler today, and even Morikawa versus Scheffler, and this is why Scheffler is so good. You know, when you at Augusta, you have to get your short irons high, and typically, even for the pros, wherever you are, most of the time, 95% of the time, the rule is hit your short irons medium trajectory, right? So you can control the spin. But on holes like 12, you know, like, you have to launch, hit a high cut with a nine iron or a wedge, or that is a really difficult shot, you know, in general. And then going in an elevated skinny green, waterfront, junk back. And you saw, you know, just the difference in what Scheffler can do, I think, compared to Homa. And Scheffler truly has all the shots. I mean, the softness, the way he swings with all his clubs, especially these short irons, that he is just, I mean, a nine, oh my God, what a shot that was. That's another perfect example. Front pin to hit it that close. With it not using the slope, because if you're a typical shot would be just a little more medium trajectory and drive it in and then spin it a little. But I'm happy for Homa. I hope this is a good turning point for him, because he's just the best. We love how honest he is, right? His interviews, he gets emotional, like, and you know, he just works his butt off.
Yeah.
So that's my thoughts on Homa, but it goes back to Scheffler, because he's the GOAT. He's the current GOAT.
Yeah, this is his quote that I love from Saturday. He says, if I catch myself thinking about what could go wrong, I let myself dream about what could go right, you know? And I mean, that's kind of the difference of nerves versus excitement.
Well, I think that's, and I think for the listeners, guys, I mean, when you have that double bogey, that triple bogey, that quad that all these best players in the world were doing this week because it was so difficult out there, that's the attitude. Okay, it all went wrong there, right? My mind, my tempo, my decision-making, you know, my speed. It can all go right the next hole.
But that's kind of the difference, right? Is they probably know what went wrong. They don't think that they need to reinvent everything or that they suck. They just, like Max's shot on 12 was a bit unlucky. Yes, he tugged it, but that was a really hard hop for a wedge.
Right.
To go in that bush and then have to take a drop.
Yeah, but
Then what did Scotty do? Scotty did what Tiger did in 2019. Scotty did what Jack did. Right. He hit it in the middle of the green over that bunker.
But what could go right the next hole after that bad hole for the listeners is just like, what's the next smart decision I can make? If I'm an 18 handicapper,
what can I
hit
do?
240 off the tee and I have to play a 15-yard cut, right? And all the trouble's left. There's no trouble right on the next tee shot. All right. I know where I'm aligning and I know where that ball's. I'm going to miss it. That's how you think, right? That's a smart decision. And you can control your outcomes in that sense. You know, at least give yourself a better chance. Now you might come over the top and hit the pull hook. That happens too. But at least you were,
which he did.
You're clearing your thoughts. With a 3-wood. Prior to the bad hole.
Now, before we move on to, I guess Ludwig would be the next person to talk to, and then we're going to spend the remainder of the time talking about Scotty. Obviously, we were debating via text if the move on 13 from Homa, I think, off the tee was a bit questionable because you just made double. I don't think the move is to press per se, so I assume he just stuck to his plan. But Scotty had a big-ish lead, and he hit driver, and he hit a 4-iron into the middle of the green. But, so if you're chasing a guy like Scotty, don't you think you need to hit driver on 13 to give yourself a chance? Don't you have a better chance at birdie by trying to get home in two? Or does he also is one of the best wedge players in the world? So maybe he's just playing to his strengths. But did that raise any red flags of playing too conservative?
I think it does now since he made par.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Granted, there was really no eagles that we saw in the coverage. Ludwig was the only one who legitimately had a chance, hit it 10 feet. I mean, I think if Homa hits that just slinging draw that he was doing in the prior days, probably has a chance. Clearly he's just uncomfortable with driver. I haven't seen his interview, but like,
or maybe just that.
Think about that. Think about no, Ev, let's draw take that, the 3-wood, right? Take that to us. Okay. Mm-hmm. That situation, right? You're coming down, let's say your Ryder Cup or your member guest or whatever, just your $50 a guy on the golf course, you know, in the foreman. That hole that, you know, this is the club I always hit. I've had success doing this. I don't feel good about the driver, but you're two down.
Right.
What do you do? What would you do?
Yeah, you're right. It almost feels like a departure, like a panic button has been pressed and I have to do something different, which he probably thinks I've made birdie here with a wedge. And with the tee box being back, 13 is a 3-shot hole for a lot of people.
Right.
So yeah, I think to your point, if you're uncomfortable with the driver and it feels like a should play versus I know what I can hit here. And obviously it's easier to turn over a 3-wood right to left. We saw a lot of pros doing that this week.
I think a better example, I don't think this was a terrible decision considering the moment. It doesn't help that he parred, but I do think, you know, if you're in those situations and you've got that par 4, that's a little shorter and maybe you're hitting 3-wood, but you're behind, that's when I got to pull the driver, right? I got to, set 80 yards compared to 120 yards is just different, right?
Right.
Or I got to be firing at the flag on the second shot. So I don't fault him for it.
Yeah. All right, Ludwig. I don't know if there's a ton to talk about with Ludwig because I think a lot of people's perception of him would be the kid's a freak. He's got an unbelievable swing. He's got so much power and speed, and he seems to be super even keel.
Yeah, and up for really any cool, moment. Nice guy.
Yeah, like look how he reacted when the guy knocked the power bar out of his hand.
Yeah, you know, right.
Like he laughed.
Yeah.
The kid is you 1 year removed from being a collegiate golfer, right?
Yeah, it doesn't
rookie
look like
at a Ryder
he,
Cup.
He looks like a seasoned pro, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, would you say his swing is your new favorite?
It might be. I mean, it's just like, it looks like the easiest thing in the world.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be around a long time. You know, he had a great college player. He played at Texas Tech.
What do you think Ludwig has in common with Scheffler? Just his demeanor and how he stays kind of neutral, middle of the road?
They seem kind of similar in that sense. Well, I thought, again, the human moment was the first hole. He literally snap hooked a three wood. Like, when do you ever see a pro snap hook a three wood? Ah, first Masters, 22 years old.
You know, I think he's 24 now, but yeah.
20, whatever, you know. And
yeah.
Right by, was he one shot going out going into today?
Yeah.
And he said, I was the most nervous I've ever been.
Yeah.
It's just straight to snap hooks at three wood.
And the, you know, the beauty of that moment? Here's the beauty of that moment. He admitted, that was the most nervous I've ever been. And, oh, that's just because I'm the most nervous I've ever been. Once right. I get in the flow of the round, it's going to be normal routine
I don't need
stuff.
To. I don't
he didn't freak out.
I don't need to think about my swing.
Didn't need to think about
everything
his swing. Didn't freak out that the whole day is going to blow up.
No.
Right?
Everything's just moving. Everything was just moving a little too fast, and I struggled to slow down and make a good, right. You know,
I was nervous. Swing, like, I got a bit quick. You know.
So, I mean, I thought he played great. You know, obviously the double on 11 was kind of his moment where he lost the tournament. Again, he's a draw of the golf ball, but you know, it looked like the shot set up well for him, but it's the moment. It's the hardest par four, like we said, probably in the majors year in and year out. But I gave him credit for coming back. You know, him and Morikawa both faltered there, but they both came back, which was nice. In a sense, it was nice to see. So, I mean, he's just a modern golfer. Tall, lean, strong, and his swing just seems perfect. I mean, I think, and this is maybe a segue into Scheffler, if you're really looking at the lead, if he can like Tiger and Scheffler work the ball and hit all the shots in the majors, he's going to be there because you know he's going to win tournaments regardless. But
right.
is he just a high drawer? You know, can he hit? You know he can hit all the shots, but can he do them when it counts? And I think right. that's going to be interesting because he's going to be a star. Not good for the Americans playing against him in the Ryder Cup. He's just going to be a force. Right.
It just shows how you can't put enough of a premium on being a ball striker. Max has said in interviews about how he used to ignore his putting and chipping because what's the point if I'm chipping for six, right? The guys at the top were ball strikers, right?
Scheffler didn't
obviously you have to be able to recover.
Scheffler hit 9 fairways today, 12 greens. He didn't miss a fairway on the back nine until the last hole. And like we said, he missed it in the bunker on 18. That's the miss. Like everything was the perfect placement miss. Like, I mean, doesn't it look like autopilot, Ev, with him off the tee? Because like, look, you look Scheffler? At Tiger and Phil's prime. They were not autopilot off the tee.
No, they're the opposite.
Rory can be, when Rory gets it going with that driver, he can do that. But Scheffler's just in a different way. He's hitting at 320, but it looks like he's hitting cuts.
I know.
Some are low, some are high. And then on, what was it? I was really impressed on, was it 10?
Oh, 10. I love that.
Draw. He hit a draw with the driver, but he slowed it down.
Mm-hmm.
And
I love 10.
Cool, cause that's an incredible hole. Cause that's not his shot, but he did
I
that.
I love 10. I love 2.
But
all right,
yeah,
let's talk Scheffler.
He's a ball striker.
Let's talk Scheffler. I'm going to read my post. I always do a kind of a sum up post on Instagram and Twitter. And I said, some people call 2-time Masters champ and world number one Scottie Scheffler boring. But isn't that what we all kind of crave on the golf course? The ability to not get too high or too low. The ability to limit mistakes and turn bad swings into bogeys, not doubles. The ability to ball strike the hell out of it, not because he has a perfect swing, but because of his obsession with basic fundamentals. And finally, the ability to not live in the past or the future and be so damn obsessed with his routine and the shot in front of him. Scottie is so much better than everyone else in the world right now because he does all the little things right. And I think we could all use a little bit more boring in our golf games.
you know, it was a great post to have, but we've talked about this in other episodes. Like, I think many of us struggle to be boring. We don't necessarily want to be.
Didn't Virgil say that last week? By the way, got a ton of feedback about the episode with Virgil. Awesome. A lot of people love that episode, but I think I love, that was our hook in last week's episode. He said something of the sense of so many people want to hit great shots, but they also want to score.
Right.
So all day you're chasing hitting the hero shot, hitting that perfect shot.
Right.
And you're more interested in that than scoring. And then you get upset at the end when you don't score versus being okay with not so perfect shots and playing golf to score. There are two different ways to play. I think most amateurs play in the former. Now, Scotty hits a ton of amazing shots and obviously scores, but I don't think Scotty is too concerned with where it goes.
Think about
he just gets overly obsessed with what to do next.
I think the perfect example is 11 today, right? He's got a couple shot lead, you know, hit a great drive, but he's got a left hole location near the water.
There was no chance he was hitting in that
water. He's a
cutter,
not a drawer. Guys are losing the tournament hitting the left, and he bails out right.
Did you hear what he said to Ted, his caddy?
No, I missed that.
He was walking down, and he said, he kind of shrugged his shoulders.
Something about the wind or something?
Yeah, and he says, you know, I need more coming off the right.
Correct.
There to be able to go for that.
But Scottie Scheffler, is whether he's coming down the, you know, the back nine at Augusta to win, or he's playing in another round or an event with that similar situation and hole location, he's thinking the same things. He's not being he's not being taken by a moment, right? More pressure, less pressure. Okay, that's not the easiest shot for the best player in the world. So you know what I'm not gonna do? I'm not gonna go for it and put it in the water. If the wind takes it, I'm going to be 20, 25 feet. If it doesn't, I'm going to give myself a chance for par. And if any, you make a bogey in the Masters on the last day, it just happens.
Right.
He avoided double. I just thought that takes such discipline. And this is what these guys do. But he's a perfect example of it.
Yeah. And look at what he did on 13. You might think that's an aggressive play to go for it in two, but really it was the right play for him. He doesn't think he's going to hit it short. He's got all of that space to hit a 4-iron, try and aim at the biggest window.
It's so funny. When you see 232 over the water, and I'm not even lie, for the viewers, you're like, what are you doing, man? You got a lead. Like, it's like,
right.
No, I mean, it's this guy Scheffler. He's like 4-iron, but to your point, I've got 70 feet of green left. Long is okay.
Right.
This is my good aggressive swing. This is my, I'm swinging.
To conservative target.
Swinging
that
to
was.
Weather. Whether
that
it's a
was
wedge or a 4-iron,
the conservative target for him.
You give those guys a fat area to swing to, it's lights out every time.
Right.
You know? But those guys who went for the flag in the previous rounds, we saw water.
Right. You know what else I love about watching Scotty? I can kind of sense that in his pressers, the media is always trying to get him to admit, like, do you realize what you're doing? Do you feel the nerves? They're trying to get him to say something that's a little bit more human to make it be relatable to us. But what does he say every time? He doesn't really answer the question. And he says, I mean, honestly, like, all I have to do is what I have to do. So he's so obsessed with going out and doing his thing, doing his routine. Do you think it's a coincidence that the guy that's the best ball striker in the world has a fucking $15 grip training aid on the range with him before every round? And I've watched him on the range. He takes a lot of time to check his grip. He looks at it. He holds it up in front of his face, puts his left hand on it. Then he puts his right hand over it and he checks. He puts a lot of time into making sure that he has the right grip, that he has the right alignment, that he has the right stance. And then when he has the little stuff right, we talked about it a million times, but I'm starting to understand that in my own game of like, oh, okay, so if you don't have the little stuff right, that's where the compensations come from.
Right. I mean, that's all these guys work on. I was watching Camilo on the range, and he was just focusing on his left hand before every shot, just getting that on. And that was his first move on the range. It's just what all these guys, it's just what they do.
Right. But that's like, if he gets caught up in the why,
that's boring.
Yes.
That's not fun. That's hard.
But guess what is fun? Winning.
Yeah. Really fun.
And $3 million checks. So you can tell that he gets just obsessed with doing his thing. And you know what else? He is such a man of faith. Whether you believe in that stuff or not, it allows him to play for something bigger than himself. So he doesn't get, it's kind of the opposite of what you feel with Rory, right?
It allows him to let go.
Right. Right. We heard that Webb Simpson quote, right?
Right. Let God let go. 15 was another great example of, you know, he can hit it down the middle. He's got 230 or 220 or whatever.
Probably one of his worst swings of the day.
Didn't, but where did he miss it?
Hit it right. Hit it right.
Well, you have to miss it, because long is really, a little long is okay, but too far long is not great.
Yeah, like, that's where Hideki
again, it's
went.
it's just the right miss.
Yeah.
And like, that's just the ultimate control of the swing, you know? And it was like anywhere else, you know, 10, 16, he stuck shots. I heard him say right after when he was in it with Jim Nance, the Butler cabin, he's like, you know, I wasn't really hitting any irons really that close.
Yeah. And I heard, like, that.
That's not typical for me.
I mean, yeah. Oh, well, yeah. His point was like, he's hitting them good.
It's coming,
but they're not like ending up in the right spot.
Yeah. He's not questioning his swing. You know, right. What the shot on 9, the shot on 10, 16.
That's a great point. That's a theme. He doesn't personalize things. He's very detached. His performance, you hear him say it at every big event. He is not a golfer. Golfing is not who he is. It's what he does.
Right.
Like, he cares more about his family and his faith. And then the process,
right? And then after the process, you just kind of wake up and say, what happened? You know, like, this is who I was today.
And I will tell you from experience, I'm sure you felt this too. There is a certain level of, if I'm relating this to my own life, there's a certain level of empowerment that comes from not really being concerned with like with this podcast, for example. Like, I used to be, when we first started, really obsessed with how do we grow? How do we grow? How do we grow? Right. Yeah. That could be the same thing as Rory being like, how do I win the Masters? How do I win the Masters? But then when I started to see it more as like a craft, as like, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to share my creativity and my voice and try and help people get better and try and get myself better. And you just do that every day. You pick your head up and it's like, oh my God, we've got this great community. We've got these great listeners. We're having these great conversations because they're just happening, but we're not forcing them to happen. I'm not attached every time we share something that it has to be this biggest thing, or why aren't we growing faster? That's a secondary thing.
Yep.
You know, and it just kind of happens. I think that's how Scottie Scheffler plays golf.
Yeah. And it's how he, it's like after today, he seems to have it figured out where, like, okay, maybe I'm playing next week. I'm committed to playing. And here we go. I won the Masters. And so it's like, nothing's really too part of his identity. And that's, I think that's what you're getting at. It's just like, okay, it's part of my journey. It's part of my process. I want to win golf tournaments. If I don't, that's okay too.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do my best.
All right. The train's going to make a quick stop. Don't panic. We'll get it moving in a second. But first, I wanted to ask you guys, have you been really focused on getting off that struggle bus? Are you trying to play the best golf of your life in 2024? I feel you. I'm on that same journey. I want us to go on it together and keep moving towards our best golf of our life this year. Best way to do it, do us a solid. Hop over to our YouTube channel. Actually, you can watch all of these podcasts in video form on our YouTube channel. My lessons are there every week, as well as all the other videos we're making to help you enjoy the ride on and off the course. So do us a solid. It would mean the world. If you like the podcast, you'll love the YouTube. Go to youtube.com/@thepartrain. Hop aboard the channel and subscribe. It'll mean the world. And let's all get playing our best golf in 2024. Thanks, guys. Let's get this show back on track.
I mean, we're really witnessing greatness, Ev. Like, you know, I think as we kind of wrap up, you know, here a little bit, like, what do these next 4 or 5 years for Scotty look like do you think? I mean, he's winning a lot of golf tournaments. You know, Spieth won five times, I think, in 2015. He had the two majors. You know, Rory had these, has had a lot of multiple win years. Koepka's got a lot of majors. But are we seeing something that is
going to be
similar to a Rory or Koepka run in terms of majors and maybe just as many tournaments won as Rory? Because he looks a cut above. And all those things we just talked about, the intangibles, you know, what he seems, how he has his life in order and his outlook and his process. Maybe it's a little different than like the Koepkas, the Rorys, the Rahms. So
yeah,
it's going to be fun.
I love what you said off air where you kind of just said it, which is Scotty's winning a ton of tournaments.
Yeah.
It's not just majors. Like, yeah, it's so funny. We don't want to do the overcorrection and the overreaction that everyone does after Colin Morikawa wins two majors in 3 years or whatever it was. And he
back
just,
to back years, two and two.
Yeah, you're right. Back to back years. And he's such a great ball striker. You're like, oh, how many is he going to get? Well, he's got to get, he could probably get eight. Right.
Right.
But he doesn't win that many tournaments. Scotty does.
Yeah.
And you can't discount players championships,
like you mentioned,
winning back to back players championships.
Some people think that's just as important.
Right. It's the strongest field in golf.
Right.
Technically. When you look at the strength of the field, so
like if he stays away from injuries, right?
Right.
Pretty scary stuff. How good this guy can be.
Yeah.
You know, and with Nelly Korda too on the LPGA, when, I mean, with all this live talk and with all this, the end of Tiger sort of, you know, and
do you think
this is pretty cool? What's going on?
I think I know the answer, but I'll ask you, I forget what media network asked this question. I'll ask it to you. Do you think golf is better off having one dominant player than like a big three or a big four?
I think sports generally is.
Yeah, I agree.
Having, right, like what Jordan, Tiger, Brady,
Gretzky,
Phelps, yeah, Messi, Crosby, yeah.
That's why we watch, right?
Yeah.
And I think at the end of the day, yes, we want a guy like Max Homa.
The thing is with golf, it's
to be like Scotty, but we also want a dominant player. He can't always be the personality too. You know,
the thing is with golf though, it's definitely seems rare because Tiger and Jack were maybe it, and there's so many amazing players. But if you think of like by far the best players for decades,
yeah,
it's kind of really Tiger and Jack, you know?
Right. Let me end with this. I was at on a trip recently, and I told you about this girl that I know that has played in like 22 USGA events.
Yep.
We're going to probably have her on the podcast at some point. And I'm talking to her about my swing changes and everything. And she's like, how often, this is a classic question, but I'm going to share it. She goes, how often do you think you practice? Like, how many hours a week? And I laughed because I was
something
like,
we've been talking about too, actually.
Yeah. And I laughed because I probably practice more, much more than the average player because I have a driving range across the street and I'll go three times a week, probably. So let's say 3 hours of practice and then maybe I'll go play once a week. So four maybe hours of golf a week.
For 20 minutes or something.
Yeah. So maybe 4 hours a week of golf. Do you know how little that is? And that's a lot for right. an amateur. So then when I talked about this idea of like confidence is earned, I've been talking about this with my coach, Josh, too. It's like you have to put in the reps so that your body can trust that you have enough evidence that this is what we do now. One perfect example is if I had a guy, not to get too much in the swing, but I want to hit home on this point of practice and confidence. So I was a guy where the face was rolled inside and open, right? So if my coach tells me to just drop my hands and turn, I understand it logically, but my body, because of all of the negative stuff I've experienced and the pattern I've had, is like, are you nuts? If I drop my hands and turn, that face is going to be wide open and that ball is going to go a mile right.
Yeah.
Right? That's why I've had to overswing for so long. So for me, the way I relate to Scotty is Scotty has earned the right to be confident because he knows what he does. He's produced enough evidence to know that what he's doing is working. And so for the average player that doesn't have a ton of time to practice, I think you just have to be really clear on practicing the right stuff and get some confidence on at least something that you can do that keeps the ball somewhere on the planet, right? And then you, and that's confidence earned is, and if you don't have that, then you can't expect great consistency. Yeah. You just can't. And then you have to have the Scottie Scheffler and the Max Homa attitude of just like, I have to go out and find the ball and I have to hit the fattest spot with the highest percentage shot. And I need to play chess and I need to just grind. And that's the game of it versus reinventing, getting down on ourselves, trying to recreate the perfect shot we hit 8 holes ago and trying to hit hero shots. Like it's a totally different game, isn't it?
I agree. You know, and I would say about the practice though, I've hit balls 5 times and played once in the last 5 months, but I do 15 minutes a day in my mirror. You're right. Learning a lot about slow motion swings,
right?
Positions. That's where the work gets done. And that's where the feel guys, I'd push you to do that too. And that's all year. And think about 15 minutes a day, grip, holding that takeaway, holding that feel. That's how you ingrain the muscle memory.
Yeah. That's a good reminder is forget the range, forget playing, do mirror stuff.
Especially if you can't get out there. Right.
Right.
So, and I just think like, you know, I think like you said, it just continues to hit home with you watching best players in the world just work so hard on their grip and their stance.
Yeah.
You know, in their posture and their alignment.
That's really the main theme, right? They get obsessed with the mini details of fundamentals and they are neutral out there after bad swings, bad shots, because they don't associate it with them being bad because of it.
Not caught up in swing.
They get clear on what happened, or they go back to what they know helps them hit good shots, and they get really clear on what it is, and they go do it. And then
you're a 2-time Masters champ.
Yeah, that's what's wild, is you could kind of see it with Scotty, which I thought was really cool, by the way, how he wouldn't walk up until he let Ted Scott go ahead of him.
Yeah.
Because he normally walks up with his wife, and obviously his wife is home pregnant, about to have a baby. But I thought that was such a cool moment, and I could kind of see in Scotty's eyes, like, it kind of hit him. Like, wow, you pick your head up after being so disciplined and so following a routine.
In your world.
And suddenly you've won 2 Masters in 3 years.
And that's the point, though, right? You pick your head up too much. Oh, I'm in the lead. I'm not in the lead. I got a chance for another major.
Yeah, he wasn't looking at leaderboards.
This is why it's so difficult. Say that. It's all day of just, you know, focus but relax in your world. And then you wake up on the 18th hole and you've done it again. So,
yeah,
it's kind great of stuff. Hopefully, it's going to be a fun year. Great, great major recap. Sure.
It's kind of like planning your own bubble, you know?
100%.
Yeah. All right. Well, this was awesome as always. If you guys like the pod, hop aboard and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Spotify. Hop aboard the channel on YouTube at the Par Train. Yeah, no matter how many bad shots you've hit, no matter if you hit it in your own raised creek or you snap hook one off the first, what do they got to do, sir?
Just enjoy the ride.
Enjoy the ride, guys. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for hopping aboard, guys. Before you hop off the train, I think I got something you're going to love. Our new YouTube channel is growing fast. It's something I'm putting a lot of focus and time and my heart into. So if you guys like the podcast, our YouTube is going to come out with the video podcast of the audio version every Monday on our YouTube channel, as well as more and more videos to help you enjoy the ride and keep your game on track. So go to youtube.com/@thepartrain or just search the Par Train on the YouTubes, and hopefully we can keep riding this train together. Thanks again for hopping aboard. Hope you guys enjoy the ride.